You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to Fergie Time, a Daily Reckon podcast with myself, Keith Jackson, and of course the man himself, Barry Ferguson. We'll be talking about various issues today, Barry. There's lots to look back on from a weekend of Betfred Cup semi-final action at Hampden. We've got a Scotland squad announcement. It's not really a big, I was going to say it's a big doubleheader. It's an absolute dead rubber doubleheader, but Steve Clark's working towards stuff, so we'll discuss that. We'll discuss what is going on in Edinburgh. We've already been talking about this for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's now left in a situation where I think it's the first time in 12 years you've got two clubs now without managers. We'll go into all of that and we'll look forward to a big European week ahead with Rangers taking on Porto at Ibrox and also Celtic going to a real powder keg match in Rome against Lazio. All that to discuss on the podcast. First of all, Barry, how are you? How's your last week been?
It's been interesting.
Have you got anything to confess to people?
Yeah, I'm trying a new, I'm going to say diet to lose weight. I'm trying a different way of eating. Simple as that.
It's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, I've not been forced into it. I've just decided that, do you know what, I'm going to get a go and see how.
Explain what is this choice, lifestyle choice that you made?
It's a plant-based diet. I know you're laughing, but hey, listen, I'm not getting any younger. And listen, there's a lot of benefits to it. So I've read and watched. So I'll get a go and see how.
Because I still don't know why it is that you've made this lifestyle choice. What was it that made you think, like, that's it, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm only going to eat plants and rabbit food and the likes?
Listen, it's healthy food. It's healthy food. I'm not saying, listen, it's wrong that you can't eat steaks and chicken. I'm just trying something different to see how my body reacts to it. That's it. That's all I'm doing. It's a plant-based diet. I've heard a few people talk about it. I've done a bit of reading up on it. And also I watched a documentary on it on Netflix. And I thought, you know what? That's interesting. I'm going to get a go. And to be honest with you, I'm having a bit of a struggle because I like my meat.
You're not dying for a steak, a big fillet steak?
No, I'm not so much missing steaks. I'm more chicken. I'm missing a bit of chicken.
Me bacon sandwich in the morning.
Every Sunday I'm in a routine that I have a wee rolling sausage or a wee rolling bacon doubler. So I missed that. And
what do you have now? Corn sausages?
Can you have that even? No, I had beans and toast without any butter. I'm feeling good. I'll be honest with you. Listen, I'm not saying it's going to change or whatever. Look, I'm getting it a go. I can do it because I'm not playing. And am I feeling any benefits? A wee bit, but I'm only 6 days into it.
Was the Extinction Rebellion? Are you joining? Is this a plan? Will you be protesting in Trafalgar Square or anything?
No, I was out for something to eat and my missus said some chicken. I'm not going against people who eat chicken and
well, that's good.
Steak.
At least you're allowing the rest of the family to eat what they want.
Yeah, that's up to them. I'm never going to be one of them saying that you can't eat that, that's no good for you, and it does this and it does that. I'm just trying something. Listen,
I think it's good.
If it doesn't work,
you for it.
If it doesn't work, I'll just go back to eating chicken for my lunch and steak for my dinner.
Right, well, we're going to come back and we'll revisit this. But it's not a vegan lifestyle you've chosen.
No.
Just plant-based.
Yep.
Right, fair. Yeah,
it's a bit of a mixture. I'm just cutting out a lot of red meat and chicken, like protein stuff, meats. So am I struggling a wee bit?
Flavour stuff. Things with flavour in it. That's what you've decided.
Listen, there's plenty of stuff to eat. Look, plenty of veg. You need your veg.
Right, listen, we'll revisit this because I'm interested to know, fascinated to know how long you can keep this up. I'm actually amazed that you've done 6 days.
Well, look, somebody says when I walked into the building that, oh, you're looking fresh.
Skin's glowing.
Yep. We'll see how that is in a week or two. But there's no cut out of red wine or anything like that, right. So I kind of still enjoy
it. No red meat, but red wine's still all right.
Yep.
Well, that's good. That's plants. Plant-based.
Yep.
So that's good news.
Yep.
Right, football-wise.
Uh-huh.
What did you watch over the weekend? What did you see of the two semi-finals?
I only seen the highlights, obviously, because I had a game on Saturday, the Celtic and Hibs game, but I watched the full Rangers game on Sunday. The highlights I seen of the Celtic game, they were devastating going forward. Yeah. I mean, it could have been... five goals, it could have been 7, 8, 9.
But it's not surprising. The two of us, I mean, listen, it's no rocket science. The two of us sat here last week and said it was going to be a Celtic and Rangers final.
100, but I had no doubt.
There's never any doubt.
I had no doubt in my mind, just for the simple fact, as I think Rangers and Celtic are far too strong for everybody. I think in the odd occasion they might stumble in a bad result, but I think nobody in the league can get anywhere near both of them. And that was shown, for me, Hearts and Hibs, I says last week, big clubs with good players, but they, in terms of Hibs, couldn't get anywhere near Celtic. And I thought Rangers against Hearts was, it was men against boys.
Mm.
I just thought Rangers...
It
was a case of when are Rangers going to score in the first half, and as soon as I felt... That first goal went in with Hollander getting it.
Game is over.
Yep, it could have, again, it could have been 4 or 5.
Well, let's just stick on the Celtic performance because they seem to be really settling into their stride. You know, they've made it a difficult couple of weeks where they've dropped points at Easter Road and Livingston. But since then, they've almost been immaculate in the way they've gone about it. I don't know if it's... I sense some motivation, extra motivation that they know they can't slip up again. I don't know if Neil Lennon's been at them. There seems to be a big difference.
I think it's a mixture. I think it's a mixture of everything. They know that Rangers are stronger and they're going to be breathing down their neck. And also the managers, I don't think he's going to accept performances like they had against Livingston, for instance. You've seen the reaction since Livingston against Lazio and then up at Pittodrie last week and then obviously against Hibs on Saturday. That's a sign it's a team that are not going to lie down in terms of they know what's at stake now. They know it's not going to be, for me, the last 3 years has been, they've been an easy street. Let's be honest, they've been an easy street this year. I don't think they
have. Title's been won before the ball's been kicked.
Yeah, I don't think they're an easy street this year.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. And I'm not just saying that, I just think Rangers are in a really good place as well at this moment in time. But Celtic are the champions, and they're showing true form of champions, aren't they?
How do you compare Neil Lennon's side to Brendan Rodgers? When I'm talking tactically now, I'm talking either as your kind of central midfielders head on and how the game's different, or from your manager's perspective.
Well, I don't think Lenny could have changed much when he came in, and he openly admitted that he couldn't change much last year when he came in and took the job, because I think you're too far into the season to go and start making major changes. He said a full pre-season, and you can see for me they don't take as many chances. They're more direct. Yep, they're more direct in terms of, I don't mean just lump the ball up the park.
Mm-hmm. It's quicker.
With Brendan Rodgers, it was more possession based. With Lenny, they like to keep possession, but there's an intent to go forward. That's the difference I see in the Celtic team.
Does that make them, I hesitate to ask this question, because I know it sounds a bit stupid when you think about the success that Brendan Rodgers had, the Invincibles, trebles.
Mm-hmm.
But does this Celtic side look more dangerous than the Brendan Rodgers side? As silly as that probably sounds.
People probably listen, they'll think that's a silly comment. I don't think it is. I think that they are more dangerous under Neil Lennon. I do.
Mm.
I think they're... get a bit mentally stronger in terms of I think the teams are stronger, certainly Rangers are stronger. I just think they're a more dangerous opponent under Neil Lennon. I do. I just get that feeling where they're more, they've got a game plan to go and attack teams.
They're not as patient. Whereas Brendan Rodgers would have his plan, he'd stick to it.
That was his philosophy.
He knew that
the way he
would
wanted
come out at the end. But yep. Celtic are in a wee bit more of a hurry under Neil Lennon, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in a hurry to get goals. You know what I mean? That's the kind of way. His Hibs team. For me, when I watched Hibs, they were good going forward. They conceded one or two, and that's the kind of similar thing with his Celtic team. Mm-hmm. They're like that Hibs team. They're like, I wouldn't say gung ho, but they've got an intent to go forward and break at pace.
Yeah,
but sometimes they leave a few gaps.
I think,
and they are going to concede one or two goals, but that's exactly it.
They operate saying, well, you know, we might lose one or two, but we're going to score four
well,
or five.
Well, you know what? It's one of the things. If we score, if the opposition score one, we're going to score two or three. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of message you get.
So that makes them a more dangerous opponent for Rangers than they have been over the last wee while.
But they're always going to be a dangerous opponent. You look at the players they've got. They've got players that have been through it, won things, and dangerous. So have Rangers. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting excited about leading up to this cup final and leading up to the next Old Firm game. It's two teams, I think, right at this moment in time, are getting to somewhere near the top of their game.
It's a massive 2 months, November, December.
It's a brilliant, brilliant 2 months.
When you look at the fixtures, actually, there's... You know, Celtic and Rangers they will play each other twice, once in the Betfred Cup final, once in the league at the end of the year. I mean, it's just all starting to come to the boil.
This is what it's all about. This is two teams, I think, that are very strong, squad-wise as well. Not just a starting 11.
Yeah.
Have you put the two teams out? There's options on the bench.
Well... Is there a concern, and you're obviously coming at this for the Rangers side of things, would you have a concern that the next 2 months could actually bring the Rangers season to a bit of a standstill? If there is the potential here that they could be blown off track, the whole season could go in the next 2 months.
There is that potential, but I'm looking at that Rangers team and I'm seeing a different mindset.
Mm. Mentally stronger.
Aye, and we've spoke about this. Yeah. We spoke about it last week.
Yeah, we did.
I seen it again. That's another thing. They've struggled in semi-finals at Hampden. I thought they started the game really well, and I just thought they were in control of the situation. I was never any danger of thinking, the longer this goes on, we might struggle. For me, it was just a matter of time. When are Rangers going to
score? It took them longer than it should have done to get the opening goal.
It should have, but there's a bit of patience in there as well. But that comes as, again, we'll go back to it. We speak about experience in that team. And the key man in that team that for me it was dictating all things was Stevie Davis along with Ryan Jack. And then you add into Ryan Kent for his 65-70 minutes he was on the pitch. He just looked a danger every time he got the ball. And then you've got the man up top who can't stop scoring.
I'm going to ask you a question. Who's the best player in Scotland right now? If you had to put... You know, and I know the obvious contenders, you're going to be looking at Edouard, Morelis. I think most people would say it's either between them two. I'm asking you, who do you think is the most influential player in the country, anywhere?
There's a couple of ways you can look at that, Jacko. What wins you games? Scoring goals, doesn't it?
Goals.
He's 20 goals, and we're at the start of November. That is some achievement. I think it's Edouard. He's only 10 or 11 goals, isn't he?
Not sure the exact stats on it.
So if you're looking at that way, it's got Morelos has got him up there. But you know what I'm going to come back to. What I say, games are won and lost for me in the engine room.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm going for Stevie Davis.
He's the best player in the country.
Yep.
It's an interesting one. What about Christie at Celtic? Ryan Christie, who is playing in a deeper, more, I know it's not centre or midfield, but he's influencing games in the middle of the park, but also scoring goals and assists.
Mm-hmm.
He got a case?
Oh, he's certainly got a case. It's all about opinion, isn't it? But for me, a year ago, he was a bit part player.
Because he only came into the Celtic side
comes
at the Betfred Cup semi-final.
Yep, against, what do you call it, Murrayfield. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, I always thought he was a good player. Similar to what I says about Ryan Jack last week in my column, mm-hmm. I think that guy's went on to different levels.
Yeah. He looks like a different player.
Aye.
He looks stronger, physically stronger.
He's becoming one of the main players. Everybody, when they talk about Celtic, will talk about Scott Brown, Callum McGregor, Edward. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a difference of opinion now. People are now talking about Ryan Christie. When he was out suspended, we're going to miss him.
Yeah.
So I think a boy has come on leaps and bounds. I mean, big game, for instance, Lazio at Celtic Park, he comes up with that goal.
And it's not happening by accident, no, it's happening every week.
It's happening most weeks. So, no, look, he's got a case. At Celtic have got four players you could say. Who are real influential, mm-hmm. are best in Scotland, and I think Rangers have got two or three as well. So this is what I'm coming back to. This is the Rangers and Celtic thing. This is how strong they are now.
Well, this is what I'm really intrigued by, because I wrote
and say
column.
The Rangers one, I'm not even bringing Ryan Kent into that because he's been injured.
Mm-hmm.
You just seen the influence.
He's not up to speed yet.
No, but you see the influence that boy's got in that team.
Yeah, I looked like a match winner at Hampden at the weekend.
Yep,
and when he gets up to speed, he's going to be a major.
And that's why. Gerard's playing it cool with him, bringing him off, giving him a bit of rest, because...
Well, here's the interesting bit.
There's a big couple of months coming up, and you need him.
For me, I wrote a column on Monday, and I said, look, it'll be green on blue in the Betfred Cup finals. We always knew it would be, but I think Brown is the most important part of this. Mm. I think if he has the influence that he has on the game that he did against Hibs...
Mm-hmm.
Then Rangers are going to have toil because he's such an imposing character in the centre of the park. However, he's up against two players that you've mentioned there,
yep.
Davis and Jack, who, you know, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I think Davis is possibly the best player in the country right now. So, am I right in that? Is that where this Betfred Cup final...
Aye, look, there's no doubt.
The outcome will hinge because there's good players all over the park, players that can affect the game all over the park. Look, I just think that's the area.
That is the area. And I'm not saying that because I was a central midfielder myself, but look, I've been through the same sort of things that Scott Brown's going through. He's finished. If he has a bad game, no good enough. His legs have gone.
Gordon Strachan says you can have a bad game up till you're 29. Once you've turned 30, your legs are
gone. I agree with that comment. But that's just part and parcel of being an older professional, but then he showed on Saturday how important it is to Celtic, not just to scoring the goals, but he's got the experience, he's been over the course before, he's a big player, he seems to enjoy the battle, but so should Ryan Jack and Stevie Davis. Now I think I'll go with Stevie Davis and Scott Brown, two real experienced campaigners who have won trophies, major trophies, know what it's like to play, know the pressures they come under. I mean, that's what I think it will come down to. Look, it might come down to a Morelos or an Edward pop them up with a goal, but they too have got to have a real influence in the team in terms of how they dictate the pace of the game, make sure they get on the ball and they start the team ticking. That's the key area.
You know them both throughout your career.
Uh-huh.
Very different characters, or not, as guys.
No, I did mean good guys off the pitch. On the pitch, warriors. Mm-hmm. Like Stevie Davis, real quiet. You see him on the pitch, he leads by example in terms of the way he plays football. Bruni's maybe a bit different in terms of he'll get out and amongst it in tackles, or maybe a bit more vocal, probably. Mm-hmm. They're two real leaders. Whatever way you want to put it, two of them are key to both of their teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the difference, I'll go back to what a fit Steve Davis is to Rangers. To me, he struggled when he first came up because he didn't have a lot of game time. Towards the end of the season, you've seen Rangers starting to motor. Coincidence, it was him getting fitter. He said a full pre-season. And for me, he's dictating games. I just thought he strolled through that game in Sunday against Hearts. And a lot of eyes are on Ryan Jack, rightly so, because he's having a great season. But the way that he dictates a game of football, Stevie Davis, is great to see. I love seeing that.
Does that not encourage the way that he plays, right? Because here's my theory on it, and it's actually Brendan Rodgers that said it, that your man, the most deep-lying centre midfield player of your team, basically defines the way that your team's going to play.
Yeah.
When Ryan Jack was playing in a midfield previously, it might have been Ross McCrory that was there.
Mm-hmm.
No offence to Ross McCrory, but he's there. He win headers.
He's
win
a different
tackles,
player.
Dog it out.
He's a different player.
But does that not mean, in a domino effect, that Ryan Jack's game is different? That Ryan Jack is there, in effect, to break up and it's all about...
No, I think I'm seeing a difference in Ryan Jack in terms of he's not just there to break up. You've seen it against Ross County.
If you're playing there and it's Ross McCrory that you're playing next to, your game isn't going to be just as controlled and passing-based as it has to be if Steve Davis is the guy that's playing there, because Steve Davis isn't in there.
What are you going in, Ryan Jack, the difference?
That's what I'm saying. The difference in Ryan Jack, could it be as simple as the guy that he's playing next to, the style that, Rangers are having
to
play?
I think it's a big party. It's not
two completely different ways of approaching a game of football.
It's not everything. It's not solely down to Steve Davis, the way that Ryan Jack's playing, but it's a big help. A big help.
Change his game, change the way that he has to play.
He'll be learning so much off him. He'll be learning so much off him.
Have you ever played in a midfield where you thought, this isn't working because it is that, it's too hurried, it's all a bit too, you know, based upon shutting the others down and, you know, and it doesn't give you control of the midfield. Have you ever felt like that and you felt, this isn't going to work, or you can't play your own natural game because of that?
There's different ways you get into play against different teams. Sometimes you don't feel comfy in it. I'll give you an instance, like, say, Scotland, when we're playing Italy or France, we're not going in there to control the game.
Mm-hmm.
We're going in there to be a pain in the arse, whoever we're playing against,
aye,
and make it horrible. And then if you go back to Rangers, certain games you go in there to dominate, you play certain players to dominate a game. So it depends who you're playing against and what you're coming up against in terms of personnel.
But when I'm guessing that when you're on top of your game, when you're top confidence, you do want to go out there and have 60, 70, 80% possession, be in control.
I'm seeing that with both Rangers and Celtic. I'm seeing that confidence is a great thing in football. You're seeing Ryan Jack probably things that you wouldn't believe that he could do maybe a season ago, and I spoke about that in the column. That's just confidence. That's learning off a really good midfielder playing beside him. That's learning off a manager who played at the top of his game. That's learning off an assistant manager. It's a combination of things. And it's the same with Steve Davis. He is playing at the top of his game because he's playing week in, week out. I know he never played against Ross County. He's got to get a rest every now and then because of his age. Same with Scott Brown. He's playing week in, week out. He's
Scott
confident.
Scott Brown's not taking a break. That's the incredible thing.
Yeah, but he'll be getting watched, looked after out with the games. It's about managing a player.
This is where I'm quite excited for these matches that are coming up. And I'll tell you why.
I wish I could fast forward to the,
I know,
to the Betfred. I can't wait.
But see,
and the players have got to look forward to it. See the build up, see that week. That's what you want to be involved in. An Old Firm final. Rangers now have got through that bit where they've got through a semi-final and they're going in playing against the champions, the holders of the cup. What more motivation do you want? And I can't wait for it. I hope it doesn't turn on, like, you're looking forward to it that much. Sometimes
could
these games
could be a bit of a damn squib.
I think there is a chance that they might cancel each other out, because I think they're that close.
I just think there's too many good players all over the place.
Aye, there is, but then when good players play against good players, sometimes it happens. You cancel each other out. But I think it's got potential to be not just a close game at 1-0. I think there could be goals in this.
Yeah, do you know, I'll tell you what
honestly
excites me. What excites me about it is, previously, and I think Gerrard was guilty of this in the first Old Firm game of the season, that he was a little bit, he took a backward step with selection, with formation, with strategy, and I think that encouraged Celtic. I can't see Rangers doing that in the final. I think it's You know, as we talked about a Ross McCrory, for example, you're there to stifle, you're there to try and shut down, to not let Celtic create. That'll not be, I don't think, the way that Rangers approach the final. I think there'll be two teams that go in there to have a go.
It's different to a league game. It's a one-off game. The game needs to end.
But the league game, whatever it was a mistake by Gerrard.
Aye, well,
he got it wrong.
You were surprised at some of the personnel, but I don't think he'll, I think he'll go for them. And on the flip side, I think Celtic will go for Rangers.
Of course he will.
So that's getting
making. That's what makes it such an exciting prospect.
Yep. And then you've got key players coming back to fitness in both teams. You've got key players playing at the top of their game. Hopefully they can keep that going for another month. And bang, what a game we're going to have.
Are you, see when you see what Scott Brown has gone on to achieve at Celtic, you obviously knew him when he was younger. You played against him when he was kind of, what, first coming really to prominence at Celtic.
Aye, yep.
Have you noticed, what, there's been a massive change in him. Massive change in him in the way that he plays the game on the park.
Mm-hmm.
A massive change in the
yeah, I never thought he would be a player that would go and dictate a game.
Yeah.
But you've got to give him credit. He's obviously went and worked on that. And that's playing with good players as well. That does help you come on, and you get better as you get experienced as well. Because when he first broke onto the scene at Hibs, and then obviously he goes to Celtic and he's 100 mile an hour running about everywhere, obviously he's found a position that suits him, sitting in front of the...
How did you find playing against him back then when he was just purely a pest? He was a menace around the midfield.
I didn't mind that.
He was cocky young guy as well, wasn't he?
Aye, cocky and all that sort of stuff you want to go with. But that's part of it.
Did you enjoy that though?
Aye, of course, because you're coming up against a young guy who's wanting to be the main player at Celtic, so you need to deal with it.
You have any recollections of your early meetings?
No, I think I probably ran the game more the time I played against them.
Do you see him a better player now than he was?
Oh, aye, definitely. Aye.
You think it'd be a harder game for you against him now then?
Well, it would be, because I'm 42 coming up. But with that plant-based diet, you never know.
Take years off you.
No, listen, serious. He has definitely improved as a player as he's got older. There's no doubt he's the key man for Celtic. In terms of, he's not going to be a match winner, but he's going to be a leader in the middle of the park, keep things ticking over, get on to the players if things are going wrong, keep focus, a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things.
Honestly, can't wait. I actually think that...
But I go back to flip that over and I look at Rangers as well, because obviously Rangers is my team, and I see the Steve Davis type, but Scott Brown is to Celtic, Steve Davis for me is to Rangers.
I think that's the biggest head-to-head for the cup final. I really do.
Devil's no scoring goals, but just go and watch him, what he does.
Yeah.
He keeps the ball moving, he starts build-up play. He's just a very good football player.
He plots his way through midfield, doesn't he?
He's just a very good footballer.
Passes, schemes.
And that's where I can't wait. These two are going to come up against each other. Then you throw in Ryan Jack, you throw in Callum McGregor, you throw in Ryan Christie, you throw in, it's a toss of the coin, who will play Ryan with Ryan
Kent,
Jack?
Ryan Kent, James but Forrest.
Ryan, I'm talking about middle of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan Jack and Steve Davis, for me, are 100% starters, if fit.
Mm-hmm.
For me, probably 100% starters for Celtic's going to be Callum McGregor, Ryan Christie, and obviously Scott Brown.
So the big choice for Gerrard is who's the third wheel in there?
Aye, Kamara for me's done excellent. What a snip he was.
Mm-hmm.
50 grand. That's got to be one of the buys of the season. You get Aribo, who's, I think, potentially could be a very good player for Rangers.
You could play Arfield in that position.
Arfield can play in there. So, for me, I look at Rangers, very good midfielders. I look at Celtic, very good midfielders. What a battle.
Yeah. I think that's the really exciting bit for me.
Aye, because a lot of people will speak about Edouard Morelos, the goals, and rightly so.
And they probably will be the guys that score the goals that win it.
Aye, and then obviously you went on and you started talking about guys that play out wide. James Forrest, who for me has just got really, the last two or three seasons, he's got a consistency in his game and he's scoring goals. You see Ryan Kent, 65 minutes on Sunday, you get that boy fit, he's a match winner. Mm. So, you know what I mean? It's look at the players on view it. And
Kent's got a few weeks now to get himself really up to
4 weeks.
If he's maybe at 60-70% just now, you'd expect.
And that's why the manager done the right thing by bringing him off. He'll just manage him till he's ready to hit fever pitch. The players that I've mentioned, very good players, and it's going to, hopefully for me, going to be a final that you could sit back and think, wow, what a game that was. It's got potential to be like that. Hey, it's got potential to be like games that I was involved in the way back in the Scottish Cup final.
What was your favourite one?
The one that Lovenkran scored the last kick of the ball when Neil McCann crossed it in.
The header.
Look at the players on view with both teams there. Guys who could run a game, guys who could win a game, guys who could dictate a game. I've got the feeling that both teams, these two teams, I've got players of that ilk that can do the same things.
Do you not think if you look back to that final though and you look at the standards, the players that were around,
aye, they were
your
top.
Larsons, that was, are both teams not some way short of that?
Aye, but I'm not saying they're the same standard as them, but what I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, the players that they've got, they know, both sets of teams right now, I've got match winners. Back then, we had some great players. You just mentioned Larson. We had Arthur Newman's, guys like that. You know what I mean? There was top players on show. But I'm just saying, we should be excited with what we've got with both Old Firm teams.
Yeah.
Excited with the level of player that's coming up.
Tell you what's not exciting.
What?
Being a fan in Edinburgh right now.
No, it's not.
I mean, Hibs actually, if you look at the Hibs before, they rallied a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They almost made a game of it for a while in the second half. That's as best as you could say.
I only seen the highlights. I just thought when, as you says, that they rattled or rallied, whatever way you want to put it, I just thought at any stage, Celtic
could have just went up through the gears.
Aye.
Was never really a contest.
No, there was a slight increase for Hibs. But as I said, at any stage you're just saying, right, wait now, Celtic are going to go up a gear here and score another one. And that's what happened. Just, I just look at both of them and there's places that I used to love going and playing. And I look at the two of them as big clubs. Great stadiums.
Yeah, they are.
They've got training facilities that are top class. They just need to, two of them, I mean, I'm sure both Leanne Dempster and Budge, they have got massive jobs now to make sure they bring in the right person or personnel to manage a club, because two big clubs, I'd imagine there'll be a lot of people interested in that job. Both jobs. Because they shouldn't be doing it. For me, if they're going through a bad stage, they should be top six. Yeah. They're going through a good stage. They should be challenging. I don't think they're going to challenge Rangers and Celtic, but they should be up third, fourth, fifth.
Fighting for Europe.
With Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Aye.
Here's the thing, right? I know we spoke about this before we came into the studio here at the Daily Record, but does it not bother you? Because these are two massive, as you just said, two massive clubs, two huge jobs. You've been in management now for a while, but nobody's saying, aye, Barry Ferguson's, throw his name in. Do you feel that you've almost excluded yourself from consideration because you've gone to Celtic Hearts, that you're at that level?
I just need to build my reputation back up. That's all I need to do. Do I look at and think, am I ready for these jobs? You can never say.
How many years of experience have you had now?
Not long, only 3 years, 4 years. So it's not a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. I've got a project today, and if I do well at my project here, then I would think an opportunity might come up in the future. But as I says to you, and I'll be straight with you, I'm happy where I'm at.
I know.
I've got a project in mind that I want to do.
I can see that, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm coming to you with the flip side, and the flip side is, wait a minute, you're Barry Ferguson. The name itself is a fairly impressive name. Your credentials, your CV, what you've achieved in football. You're sitting at Celtic Hearts and you're watching Austin McPhee take Hearts at Hampden for a Betfred Cup semi-final.
Mm-hmm. But I've not won anything yet either.
Yeah.
I've not won anything. I've still got a... Look, I'm still really... inexperienced in terms of... I like to think I know the game, but... I made a few mistakes in the past in terms of management. Now, I've got my own team together. And I've still got a bit of hard work to do, but...
You're flying at the minute, though, eh?
Hey, we're doing well. We're doing well. We're not getting carried away. It's my own group. It's a total transformation that I've done. And you hear a lot of crap, people shouting that they're throwing money about. But we're not. Mm-hmm. We're not throwing money about.
But you have managed to bring in a fairly decent level of player.
Yeah, right? I brought in a decent level of player. But it's easy for that decent level of player to come in at a Lowland League team and think, right, I'm here for a jolly.
Aye, not fancy.
No, I spoke to, out with the boys that I brought in. I mean, for a squad of 20, there's only three left.
That you originally inherited?
Yep. Oh. But you go and you speak to, I spoke to another 10 or 15 players who I was interested in. The only thing they were interested in is how much am I getting. And I want players to come and try and achieve something. To bring them down a couple of levels, it takes a lot of hard work and twisting their arm a wee bit. But we've got a decent wee facility there. We're decent.
So what do you need to do then, Barry, to get yourself into the conversation? When
I need
the next
win.
Time, in a Hearts or a Hibs? Or
I need
a,
to try and...
You need to get them up?
Do it over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
My job started a year ago, but I knew my job really wouldn't start until the summer. My job started, as I say, as I signed the contract with Kelty. Then about 3 weeks later, I sat down with the general manager and I says, look, we've got a good team. If you're happy to just stay third, fourth, fifth, right, fine. But if we want to go and try and do something, there's going to be we need a full rebuild. Now, it will take a wee bit of money, which is normal, but it's no the money that some people are spouting a lot of nonsense about.
What's your top earner on?
I don't want to say that in front of you. I don't think that's right.
Not naming names.
No, I don't.
But give us a ballpark then. What's the sort of ballpark figures? Because you were saying that you had who was it, the Welsh side that you were up against earlier on this season, and the differential was ridiculous.
I think your budget's only sitting at, I think, 90,000 or something.
Right. So it's
not. No. But the thing is, I've got to try and identify players. For talking sake, Nathan Austin. I found out that he was going to be leaving Inverness. There was every part-time club under the sun were wanting him. We registered interest in him. I spoke to him. But I also found out that he was wanting to come out of full-time football to go back to the job he had away at the start when he was at East Fife before he went to Falkirk, then obviously moved on to Inverness. So that's the guys that I've got to try and identify, guys that are wanting to come out and have a half-decent part-time football wage, but also a full-time wage, because I've got families and they've got to look after them.
Yeah.
So that's the type of people we've got to identify, and it's not just going and sitting down with them and offering them a couple of pounds in their pocket. It's what we can offer them as a club, the facility, as I said, what we try and do at training, what we're trying to achieve, all the things. People just think it's an open chequebook and you just chuck them a couple of £100 and a couple of grand sign on fee. It's not like that.
Uh-huh.
It's not like that.
But if you can get promotion into the SPFL the end of this season, that's the target, yeah?
Yeah, but listen, you start the season, there's one target in mind, to win the league.
Right, that's the target. You get them into the bottom tier of the SPFL. how much further do you need to climb? What more do you, Barry Ferguson, need to do for people to say, this guy's starting the show? Because you said to, since the day you started in the management thing, that you've got very high ambitions. Your ambition
and
is to
manage as high as you can, you know what I mean? It's getting that opportunity. I came out of the game because I was sickened at Clyde. And injuries and that, all that sort of stuff, and also we weren't playing well. But that comes down to, listen, I'm not blaming players. I mean, that comes down to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the manager, I'm the guy that it takes it on the chin. I'm no going to shy away for that. I came out for 12, 13 months, I think it was. I was just pissed off at it. I had a couple of opportunities to go in other places. They weren't right for me. And this just landed on my... I got a phone call for the general manager. And I just loved the way he spoke. And I thought to myself, do you know what a project is? What if I can get this... What if I can try and get this club up to the... This was a junior club 2 years ago.
Yeah.
If I can try and get them up with the SPFL in a two-year period, well, I would have done a good job.
So your ambitions haven't changed, because when you started management...
Never changed.
You said that you wanted to be the manager of Rangers one day.
I'll never change.
That was still your ambition in management.
See, what's the point? It's like... Anybody get into a job, do you get into a job just to, I'm not one of the guys who just want to
just
die and I'm happy and, no, you want to try and achieve. It's like when I was a player, getting told I was too wee, I was a player that might never make it at Rangers. Aye, well, do you know what, I'm going to show yous. So I was like that as a footballer, and I'll be the same as a manager. I want to try and go as far as I can. If that means that it's only up a level or two, well, so be it. But do you know what? I'll nobody feel like you're trying.
Mm-hmm. I'm asking all these questions, right, because I bring it back to Sunday at Hampden there, and you see a guy like Austin McPhee,
mm-hmm.
and it seems to me, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, you tell me, but it seems to me there's a growth industry just now of guys, football specialists that have learnt football off a computer, that don't have your background or your education as a player. And I'm wondering... And maybe, you know, people say, "Ah, well, it's dinosaurs," but it's sort of dinosaurs that talk like that. But there is this clash, I see, of mentalities between guys that have been brought up with a proper, verticoma, football education, and guys that have come to it from perhaps more of an academic point.
I'll give you a bit of my management style, right? And I spoke to you about this off air on the way down here.
Yeah.
I think you've got to create a happy environment. You've got to make players want to come in. And you've got to make training enjoyable.
But surely players...
Right, but also there's got to be a serious part to it. So there's... You've got to find a happy medium, you know what I mean? You've got to make sure that they want to come in. I mean, I've got boys that are working the day and they're coming in at 7 o'clock to train for 2 hours. 2 hours.
There's got to be an element of goodwill there. They've got to want to be there. They've got to enjoy the environment.
So they've just done a 8-hour shift or whatever, 10-hour shift. So I've got to create an environment they're happy to come into. And they're coming in looking forward to, right, what's the gaffer putting out the night? Aye, it's enjoyable, but also it's hard. Also, it's part of us building up for the Saturday. So you've got to do all that. But I just think now, I think football's simple, made complicated.
Yeah.
With a lot of people when...
Well, I'm going to have to bring it back then to Hampden again. Because it looks to me as if Austin McPhee has made a decision, I'm not going to play like Piezo. I'm not going to do that because that's what everybody expects me to do, because the last time he played against Rangers, he absolutely ragdolled the entire back four. But they'll not see this one coming.
Yeah.
What?
He's a big boy, isn't he?
Oh, jeez.
Honestly. But I like it. Do you know what?
He's not the greatest football player in the world, but he can cause absolute chaos on his
I think he should take more. Look, Hampden's big. It's a big pitch, you know what I mean?
Big for a guy like Pezza?
Big if you get people running about him. But do you know what? A lot of people I've seen, he's not a football player, but I like him.
I think he affects a game.
He can be effective. It can be effective.
So does it make any sense to you whatsoever? Because we're sitting in the press room, I've got to tell you,
we're
all looking at each other going, what is that?
I was surprised that when I seen the... Because I wanted to watch a build-up because I was interested to see Rangers because it's my team of support. See how the manager's speaking, how's the boys feeling and all that, because there's a bit of pressure because they've not been able to go over that hurdle of a semi-final.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see it all. And when I seen the teams coming out, I was a wee bit surprised because obviously what happened at Tynecastle and
previously,
he's a handful for any team. It was a strange one, but he's got his reasons, isn't he? The manager.
I couldn't write. Now, this is the thing, right? We're journalists, so we don't have the tactical eye that guys that like you who have spent all your time doing badges, playing. Mm-hmm. Journalists, you kind of just... I remember speaking to Walter Smith about it. He says, the thing is, if I'm a manager sitting in the stand watching a game, this is when he was a Scotland manager, he was over at the World Cup in Germany, watching opponents. He says, you'll watch the ball, which is correct. I'll watch where the ball is because I'm looking to see who's going
to...
He looks the other way. Where's the back four? Well, when it's a corner up the other end, how are they set up?
I see where Walter Smith's coming with, because if I'm going and watching, for instance, I went to watch East Kilbride last week. We played them on Saturday. I'm not watching the ball, I'm watching...
what they do when they don't have the ball, where they're set,
If they lose the ball in midfield, if they lose the ball in a wide area, I'm looking at what's their setup.
So it's a tactical analysis, right? And my point is this, I'm sitting watching this Hearts side, and for the life of me, I'm hoping maybe a guy like you with a tactical kind of side will be able to say to me what it was that they were trying to achieve in that match.
Before I put the game on BT,
mm-hmm.
I think Hearts are going to come here and try and bully,
yeah,
or physically. Be real physical, yeah, against Rangers, and I was really surprised how they played, because I thought it played into a bit of Rangers' hands. You sat off them a wee bit, it was negative. But listen, Austin McPhee's, you know, have his reasons why he done it, but for me,
because the computer told him,
Ick Piezu is a real handful. You get the ball up with him, he's as strong as an ox. You need two or three players running about him to try and beat him. There was a couple of instances in the second half. He was just...
hanging off him.
He was just batting people out the way. But he's effective, the big man. I like him. And you need somebody like that at times.
Listen, see, if you've got Stephen Naismith at 100% for that, I could maybe see, you would start with him as your striker. But given the complete lack of options. But also, Barry, right, tactically again, now just...
But a big one was Wheeling off, by the way.
But Whelan was taking on that Rangers midfield on his own because of the way it was set up. Indulge me in this, two wide guys at the front three, a 4-3-3 and the two wide guys at the front three, at no point were they trying to engage with Rangers fullbacks or stop Tavernier and Barisic getting forward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, that's actually two wasted shots because they're playing in no man's land, they're not pressing anyone, they're not getting involved, they're not stopping anybody getting forward. Tactically, it looked like a suicide note.
Is it just how is their confidence? Is it the players must be so low in the snake's belly, honestly. And that's the way it looked. But on the other hand, sometimes you get a bounce. Feel like a manager leaving and then you're like, oh, Jesus, man, I'll need to show that I really should be here. It was strange. I just thought Hearts would have been really direct against Rangers. I just thought that their game plan played into passive. Rangers. It played into Rangers' hands.
Right, okay. Well, look, that's the weekend stuff. Obviously, Rangers and Celtic now move forward and into massive European nights. Barrett,
right.
What can be expected from these games? I've tipped. I think Rangers, having watched and been pretty surprised by how poor Porto were.
Mm-hmm.
First match, I think Rangers have got a real shout of 3 points at Ibrox. I think Celtic have got their work cut out, but it's not beyond them to come back for only a point.
I think Rangers will beat Porto, and I think Celtic have got enough about them to come away from there with a point. As long as you keep them at Sol, and they're a good team, there's no doubt, Lazio. But as I went back to 20 minutes ago, they're in a good place, Celtic.
Confident.
Yep. They're confident. Lenny might come up with some tactic, and that's one of the things that I've been impressed with.
Mm-hmm. He's astute, and he's done it in Europe for years.
He knows the game, so he might come up with some formation or personnel change. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if they come back with a point, and I wouldn't be surprised if Rangers win at home under the lights, European night. I've spoken about it plenty of times in my column. It's nights that are, it's electric. It's as close as you get to an Old Firm atmosphere.
Give me your predictions then for both games, please.
I think Celtic can come away with a one each draw.
That's a massive, massive result. By the way, that's them just about through the group, you would say at that point.
Yep.
Potentially through the group on the night.
Yep. I think both will go through the groups.
Massively exciting again then, isn't it? We ended this podcast the way we started it. I think
both Rangers and Celtic will go through the groups in next year.
Exciting times for everybody apart for you, who will be sitting watching, eating this with a piece and water crisp.
No piece and water crisp. I'm going to have a bit of vegetable soup and a bit of two slices of toast and hummus. What's up with you?
When did you start eating hummus? Is this a recent development?
No, I've liked hummus for a...
Have you?
I like it. Chickpea.
Me as a kind of hummus chickpea guy.
Sweet chilli hummus. Beautiful. Okay. It's good in a slice of toast with a bit of... I'm saying vegetable soup. I like old times tomato soup. But... Look, you're laughing. People are laughing.
It should be homemade. You should be making it from scratch.
My missus made me homemade soup. Obviously one of them had the big ham hock in it, and she made me a wee separate pot through it.
Separate.
I didn't taste
vegetable great. Stock.
I absolutely battered it with salt and pepper. But we'll see. I'll see how I'm ours
next week. Next week. We'll get the update of plant life.
I get told I'm looking fresh.
Yeah?
I get told I'm looking fresh.
You are looking fresh, mate.
Feel energetic. So, all good after 6 days.
So let's check in next week where we are. Plant life with Barry Ferguson. On Fergie Time. Available on all good podcast platforms.